Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
When he said, I am the vine, really what he's talking about, we in our Christian life are called to be cultivated because Jesus is the source of all of our productivity.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We conclude our study of the I Am's of John as Pastor turns to John 15. We'll look at the significance of the statement, I am the vine.
We've been looking at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason why the Gospels are given is the same reason why when you end up asking somebody about a basketball game or a hockey game, depending on who you ask, you're going to get a different perspective. If you ask the players, they have a perspective. If you ask someone sitting in the stands as a spectator, they have a perspective. If you ask someone like the referee, they have a perspective. Or the coach, they have a perspective. And that's why with the Gospels are given, you have a fully orbed view of who Jesus really is. And this last month or two, looking at John, the Gospel of John, and what he has to say, there are some things that the Gospel of John states that nobody else states. Here's the elder John, 50 years after Christ has gone on to heaven, and he, John, the last standing apostle, in John chapter 15, almost as if a deathbed conversation that Jesus has with his 11 disciples there in the upper room, he tells them, we're going to leave now, and he heads down the steps of the Judean hillside on a cool evening, later into the evening, and he almost is whispering to them, come close. I have something I want to say to you that I've never said to you, and they're incredibly important. These are the words you find in John 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Let's take a moment and read this passage together. John chapter 15. This again is one of the I Am statements. And now you find the last I am, the true vine. And in this statement, let's read verse 1 through 8 out loud together. And notice a couple of observations as you read the word vine and also the word abide. I think they're incredibly important. John 15, 1 through 8. Ready? Let's read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall be my disciple. He finishes that thought in verse 16 when he says, you've not chosen me. As he's talking to these disciples, I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The power and importance of I am the vine, because Jesus himself made the statements, all related to cultivating and being cultivated. It's so important for us to realize as we move forward in our Christian walk. Well, I don't have a whole lot of experiences with vineyards per se, but the closest I have is growing up a place that is very close where we were at, actually in Buena and Buena Park in the early 20s and 30s. They were vineyards there. It became an area that eventually was taken over by orange groves and different produce coming out of that, and the vineyards kind of moved up in northern above LA area and Napa Valley, which you would know as a wine industry. And in that area, there was a guy named Walter and Cordelia, and this young couple bought property there in Buena in just in the 20s and early 30s, and bought a bunch of property and started producing loganberries and raspberries and blackberries. And they were bushes, but they were also vine-like. And he became quite proficient at all this, started a fruit stand, and started selling the produce. But he had a friend named Royston, and out of that relationship, he could not get his berries to grow. He was crossbreeding some berries, and he could not get them to grow. He said, "Walter, would you help me with this? I can't get these things produced." Walter took them on, and by his own expertise, began taking this one berry and ended up making it produce. There's things that he did to make this vine produce berries. It got so successful that it was a berry that no one else had produced. He put it on his fruit stand. People started buying it. They said, "What in the world is this?" And he named it after his good friend's last name, Boysenberry. He said, "This is a boysenberry." And out of that, his wife, who was quite a homemaker, reluctantly was to help with this large growing family, was making dynamite fried chicken. They started making fried chicken meals and making boysenberry pies, and it got so popular, the lines got hours long, particularly on Sundays, which is where I remember as a kid going and thinking, why are we driving so far to go get a chicken dinner? I'm okay with Kentucky Fried. Particularly having to wait for an hour plus. And so Walter Knott, known now as Knott's Berry Farm, began producing his own little boysenberry. And out of this is a berry farm, he said, "You know, let's create some amusements to keep these long lines busy." And that's what they did in Calico Town and Ghost Town. And next thing you know, hey, let's fence this in. And in 68, they fenced in this little berry farm and eventually ended up becoming, as we would know it, as Knott's Berry Farm, which was kind of a knockoff of what we down the road was known as Walt Disney and his little episode of Walt and Walt. All of that to be said, it's interesting to know how in the world this huge industry developed by just this young man that went and said, "You know what? I'm pretty good at producing produce." And I don't want you to miss it today, because we're going to talk about a whole lot about produce, because that's what Jesus used in his particular element of grapes. We don't have any grape vineyards here on Guam. I'm sure these would seem, how many of you grew up somewhere along the line having to weed or take care of plants? You'll understand why, as I explained earlier, the context of John 15, he's not talking to the multitudes. This is literally probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half before Jesus himself is going into the warfare of all warfare of his life and his very purpose why he came. He knows this is coming. One of the disciples he sent off earlier, Judas, to go ahead and gather all of those troops, because he knows shortly he's going to be met by a kiss. Fact is, you see this in John chapter 18. Look at your Bibles. Let's look at this passage here. I think it will be a understandable point to you that we are called to be cultivated. When he said, "I am the vine," really what he's talking about, we in our Christian life are called to be cultivated, because Jesus is the source of all of our productivity. This doesn't come out of us. This is not of us. If you're a Christian, God wants to help you to be productive, and he's going to cultivate your life in order to do so. How does this work? You'll end up finding it. Notice in John 18, this is the back end of this section, John 15, 16, and 17. When he got done with his teaching with John 15, 16, his prayer in chapter 17, in verse 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, and there was a garden, an olive garden, may I add, into the which he entered and his disciples. And that's where he was betrayed, verse 2. And they knew that place. Jesus often resorted there with his disciples. So before he's going down the brook Kidron, went across the river to the other side, the Mount of Olives, and between that point and where we're now standing in John 15, we read, he said, let's go. Somewhere in that midst on that hillside, whether by a torch, whether by the bright moonlit of that spring day, I don't know. I do know that he began sharing truths that he had said no other time and place. And it is incredibly important because I'm telling you that if you miss this, you will miss all the other six meanings of the I Ams. You will miss all that John said. I'm writing this to you as an old man to fill in all the rest of the incredible life of Jesus Christ because the others have not stated these. This truth you find nowhere else in the Gospels, nowhere else other than supported by the whole of Scripture and the concept that Jesus said, I'm the vine. He talks about fruit. I wish I had time to expand this further. I don't want you to be frustrated with this, but when he talks about fruit, what is he talking about here? When you take the whole of Scripture, you'll end up finding that children are known as fruit. Psalms 128. And that particular fruit there is not what Jesus is talking about here in context. He also mentions through the Scripture, you'll end up finding, talking about converts, Romans 1, verse 13. You say, I'm a productive Christian, I'm producing fruit. What does that mean? In the Bible, it does talk about the area of converts, Romans 1, 13, when Paul said, I would have fruit coming out of your life. He also mentions the idea of fruit in Scriptures dealing with character. Galatians 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit shows up in attitudes of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. That's fruit. It's interesting, he also uses the metaphor of fruit related to our own conduct. Philippians 1, 11, the acts of righteousness. In other words, things that I'm doing that's right. All of that is what the Bible calls fruit. And the Bible also talks about the area of answered prayer, complete obedience, and we'll mention this, and then continued praise, the fruit of my lips, Hebrews 13, 15. All of these is specific fruit that I'm going to produce in a life that's productive as part of the vine and the branches. Question, are you producing that?
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.